Welcome back, folks. We are proud to be sponsored by CBD Vermont. They believe that healthy soils, strong local economies, and plant-based wellness go hand in hand in hand. That's why they work with organic farmers across Vermont to grow the highest quality hemp and produce full-spectrum CBD extracts for wholesale. They've recently launched an online store where you can buy Vermont-made CBD products, including oils, capsules, edibles, and topicals that have been fully vetted by the staff at CBD Vermont. What a cool gig. I want to be a CBD vetter, an Eddie vetter. They ship everywhere. And as huge music fans, they're offering our listeners 15% off all products. So go to cbdvermont.com and use the code AMIGOS, plural, A-M-I-G-O-S, at checkout to get 15% off. That's cbdvermont.com. Use the code AMIGOS for 15% off.
Osiris.
Folks, today's episode is brought to you by SiriusXM Satellite Radio. You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and for every mood. That's where you hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood. It's where you get news from every source. It's where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio, woo! In addition to Jam On, the Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. It's where you can listen to top comedy channels such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix Is a Joke Radio, and sports talk radio from Barstool to ESPN and more to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world. Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now and listen outside the car, on your phone, online, and at home, and get your first 3 months for just a dollar. Visit SiriusXM.com/amigos, A-M-I-G-O-S, to see offer details and to subscribe and start listening today. That's SiriusXM, no car required. All right, what's up? Let's have a podcast. It's Amigos. It's Mike Fenoya. It's hot as shit in New York City, and I'm sitting here with no lights on, in the air conditioning, like a hermit. And I'm excited to chat with you guys about summer tour. Summer tour's over till Dick's. I'm going to Dick's. It's time to talk some fish. I have Rob Chafin from The Works, the drummer of The Works. On the podcast today, we're going to be talking about the workout, the 10th annual workout festival happening in Ohio, August 1st through the 3rd. But first off, we're going to talk fish summer tour. Fucking gross out. I just went around the corner to get a Starbucks unsweetened iced green tea, venti, extra ice. And in case anybody ever sees me and knows, wondering what I want. Fucking dying. It's like that oppressive, it's like 2-3 weeks of just oppressive New York garbage weather where everything smells like someone poured vinegar into a sour cream and onion bag of potato chips and then microwaved it and crushed it and made you snort lines of it. That's what it smells like outside in the lovely, apple. Let's get the business out of the way. As always, Osiris Network, proud to be a part of this incredible network of great music podcasts, culture podcasts, you name it, we have it. So go to Osiris Pod and listen to all of my friends' amazing podcasts. If you are listening on iTunes, thank you so much for the ratings and the reviews. And if you haven't done it yet, take a quick second and go over and review and like and share. And tell your friends about it because it goes a long way. If you're listening on Spotify, follow Mike Fenoya, the artist, me truly, and there's a lot of fun shit coming down the pike, so keep your eyes on Spotify. If you're on Facebook, go ahead and join the Facebook Amigos Podcast Discussion Group, and you know, we chat back and forth. We were just talking today over there about what everyone's favorite moments were from this summer tour. I got to meet a couple of cool Amigos fans. My boy Chappie, good friend now. A lot of great people. He came through, gave my friend a ticket for Camden, and my friend accidentally gave that ticket away. So Chap went above and beyond and got my buddy another ticket. And, you know, you're the amigo of the tour, Chappie. You're a good dude. I got to meet Cully Naramore from Treehouse Brewing. I got to meet so many cool people this summer. And if I left you out, it's because my brain's fried. But I got to hand out a bunch of stickers and hang out and listen to some great fish this summer, the past 3 weeks, with a lot of good people. Made a lot of new friends, and I'm very happy. So let's get into it. Fish Summer Tour 2019. Look, yeah, okay. Third night, Alpine Valley. Is it the best show they ever did? Potentially. I'm not sure. I listened to it, and everything that they played, they pretty much nailed. Spock's Brain, they crushed. If you listen to the Spock's from Mexico, I mean, that's a song, I saw it, Shoreline 2000, that amazing show when Bob Weir came out that weekend, right before their first hiatus, the end of 1.0. Love that song so much, and I never get to see it. And then I saw they opened Mexico with it, and I listened to it, and I was like, yikes. They got to practice that, baby. And they did, and it came out amazing, this run. I mean, it's just a great... It's Olivia's Pool, Man Who Stepped In Yesterday, Avenue, Meat Stick, Sick Meat Stick, Vultures, Pebbles and Marbles, second one of the tour. It's incredible. Let's hope that sticks around. Glide, About to Run, Strange Design, Timber, I Didn't Know, Good Times, Bad. I mean, I didn't know. Anytime Fish is playing the vacuum. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. When the band is having a good time, I'm having a good time. And they sure were having a great time. Trey's jumping around like a goober. It's awesome. Set two, Mercury, slowly becoming one of my good friends, that song. I'll be honest, wasn't a big fan off the bat. I'm still not like, you know, the minute they started, I'm not like, fucking, yeah. But that jam really kind of rocks. 38-minute Ruby Waves. I said it a million times. That's the song of the year. It reminds me of mid to late 90s Down With Disease, the energy that it has. It can go on and on and on, and they proved it. And I'm so glad that they did. A lot of people I know didn't love that song. And they took it for a ride around the block a couple times, and it's the best. It's just such an unbelievable tune. Twist, Swept Away, Steep, Death Don't Hurt Very Long, and I'm like, all right, they're winding down, you know. And then Iculus, and I'm like, fucking fuck you, really, Buffalo Bill, Jesus. Yem, Catapult, talk about someone getting engaged. Contact. Back into Yem. It's like, all right, enough. You know, rubbing it in at this point, you dick. More into Twee Prize. So, I'm very excited to be going to Dick's. It's my first time going, and I'm going to be going to shows with my little brother, and that makes me very, very happy. So, it'll be a real hoot. I love Colorado. While I'm out there, speaking of... I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy, headlining the Comedy Works South in Greenwood Village the Tuesday after Dick's. So come chill, won't you? Go to MikeFenoya.com for all of my stand-up dates. This weekend I'm going to be with Adam Carolla at the Helium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. And then I will be in Washington State Sunday with the Impractical Jokers doing, I think, a casino. I don't know. I'm excited to go out there. I'm going to try to visit Ken Babbs, one of the Merry Pranksters, at his farm. He was one of Ken Kesey's buddies, one of the pivotal shapeshifters in the counterculture of American music history. He's the greatest. Then I'm in Las Vegas at the Comedy Cellar July 29th to August 4th. And then I'm in New York for a couple weeks. Then I'm in the Borgata in Atlantic City. Check out all the dates. Then I'm on the road with Dave Attell in September. I did, for Fish, I did Merriweather Post Pavilion. I did two shows down there. Brought you the interview with Brandon Wennard from Bro Bible while I was down there. I love going to that venue. Early on in my Fish going career, I started a long run of shows there. 98, the covers summer. I saw shows down there, and you know, Wedge was, I believe, opened up the show, and on the first night of Merriweather, second night of Merriweather, they played a Wedge, and I got a little choked up. I got a little, you know, every now and then you hear you think about it, and it's like, I've heard this song at this place, how many years ago? 21 years ago? And it's still, that beginning of Wedge just always gets me, and it kind of brought a little bit of a tear to my eye, and made me realize that, you know, I'm still chasing moments, and it's something I'm very happy that I have in my life. So this summer tour brought me a lot of joy, because I'm working on a couple of projects, and I'm looking at Fish from a different perspective, and they're playing better than I can't remember when they played this well. Maybe it's the best they've ever played. I don't know. I mean, they played faster, they've played louder, they've played more accurate, but something weird about this right now where they're all kind of really on the same wavelength. And I mean, Mike is just a, he's like a throughput. He's like an electrical current that's just reliable and just so deep and so good. And I love Fishman. It's his band, but Paige and Trey playing together are, they seem to be really like striking a resonance between the two of them, that they're having a lot of fun, and it's very evident in the music. Merriweather was an amazing time. The weather was perfect. The seats were great. I met a lot of super cool people. I chilled with these two dudes that have been doing tour for a very long time, and they were great to chat with. The hotel hang afterwards was wonderful. It was a walk to the venue. The music was wonderful. If I had to pick any highlights from that run, I mean, it's all kind of blending in at this point. But I would say, I mean, the Maze, Waste, Sanity, Wilson encore, kick ass. Cross-eyed opening the second set of the second night, pretty goddamn wild. Into Everything's Right, into Ruby Waves, into Twist, 2001 Blaze On. It's a hell of a set. Rift Gumbo, It's Ice, was kick-ass. Again, the Wedge, really, really awesome. Set Your Soul Free, I love. What's the Use, Death Don't Hurt Very Long. Rise Up, Come Together, all good shit. Then I was supposed to go to Maine, and I couldn't do it. Real life kicked in, and I had to come home, take care of some Impractical Jokers work. I listened, thanks to some Facebook groups and some cool people that are posting shows on there. Really appreciate them. I picked back up in Camden. Went with my good buddy Chris. And, I mean, look, everyone talks about Camden Night 3. It was amazing. I mean, it's there's these undeniable nights. These are the moments we chase. Camden Night 3. Some say second night Fenway. I'm going to say that third night, you know, Alpine, third night Camden, Burgettstown 03. There's shows where they play a lot of songs, and it's just they seem to know. They know what they're doing, and they're having a good time. When they're having a good time, I'm having a good time. But Camden start to finish was kick ass. And the hang was great. A couple nights got a little rainy, but it was a good time. It was a wet tour, I noticed. Yet again, I had to bail on SPAC because of work. But what are you going to do? That's life. Again, I watched it. I think that the second night was stellar. Some of these jams that you don't really expect to be the ones that show are the ones. Plasma was dynamite. A Sneakin' Sally, of course, is hard to miss. All good stuff. Fenway Park. I don't know. I'm not too fond of. I talked about it on the last episode. Something about that venue. I think I'm going to pass next time. It just wasn't fun. They played great. The music was great, but I didn't like it. That Boston thing. Look, I love doing comedy in Boston. I like the city of Boston for its history and its walk-around ability. But I don't know. Very weird. Very weird vibe. We'll skip it. Then hometown gigs, Mohegan Sun. You know, I play Mohegan Sun. I play Comics Comedy Club. And by the way, thank you so much to everybody that came out to Clash of the Podcast. Dawn and I had an amazing time with all of you. Tom Marshall joined us on stage. Benji Eisen joined us on stage. And Zizix, David Steinberg, joined us on stage for about an hour chat about this tour, about indoor shows versus outdoor shows, some favorite moments from the tour, some favorite new stuff, the Forgotten 2.0 era. I'm going to be bringing you after this intro some chunks of that. But the problem is the overall audio didn't come out as audible as we had hoped. It's pretty much unlistenable. So to those of you that came, I'm glad you were there to enjoy it. For those of you who are listening, I will bring you as much as I can in the beginning of this episode. But it was a good time nonetheless. And thank you to Tom and Benji and David and Comics Comedy Club for having us and for everybody who came out a little hungover. I liked Mohegan Sun. It was a very hot, steamy, humid, wet tour up until Mohegan Sun, and it was nice to be in the air conditioning, and it was nice to not have a curfew, and the band was able to stretch a little bit. And it was a 9,000 seater, so the sound was so loud and the lights were amazing. And I like indoor tour. I'm a big fan of it, not only because of those elements I just spoke of, but night one, I went to my favorite spot right behind Fishman and watched the set. Night two, a very, very wonderful person, not just because of this nice favor, but a fan of the comedy and a fan of Impractical Jokers, hooked me up with like second row off the stage and right on the side of Mike. I think it was like section 103. I can't remember when I've had better seats. And I brought two friends to the show. One, it was his first show. He's a big fan of jam music, but late 40s, and had a great time. And that really kind of ended this run of nine shows that I went to on a high note. So thank you so much to that this person who knows who they are. But I thought the second night of Mohegan Sun was just so good. I thought the first night was great too. It was a little weird. Never heard Energy before, I don't think. I think that was my first. Petrichor in the middle of the first set, Things People Do. Wasn't expecting that. Beneath the Sea of Stars is growing to be such an unbelievable tune, and I hope we hear more of it. The Foam Encore was, I mean, I love, I'm always waiting for that. Saw It Again, Kung, Saw It Again, Encore. This Encore tour, the Encores this summer have been great, and I'm really excited to see what they bring us at Dick's. Everybody that I met on the road, this was a special run. I'm very, I feel warmed up from this 3-week jaunt of shows that I did. I missed doing stand-up. I did a little bit of stand-up right after Mohegan Sun. The next night, I did a show for a good friend of mine in Newport, Rhode Island at a Vineyard, and boy, was I rusty and a little bit off my axis. Maybe that's just from, you know, 3 weeks of good music rocking my brain. So it's good to be back. It's good to be doing some stand-up, and I'm excited for Dicks. So what were some of your favorite moments? Hit me up at Amigos Pod on Twitter and Instagram, at Mike Fenoya on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to bring you a couple snips of our live podcast right after this, and then we are going to get right into our interview with Rob from The Works. Ambitious endeavor, putting on a festival. I mean, I don't know how the hell you do it, but this is their 10th year, and the lineup is just out of control. And we discuss, you know, the elements of putting together a festival, and you know, just the venue, and creating a good time, and the importance of that vibe at a festival where, like, you're seeing stuff you're never going to see again, you know? And Rob stresses that and discusses a couple of really cool projects that are going to be included at the festival. So definitely check out The Workout, WERKOUT festival.com. It's happening August 1st through 3rd, Legend Valley, Thornville, Ohio. The Works, Big Gigantic, Soundtribe Sector 9, The Claypool, Lennon Delirium, Steel Pulse, The Floozies, Twiddle, Modest Yahoo, The Transident, which is Michael Kang, Kyle Hollingsworth, Michael Travis, a whole bunch of great people. Turquoise, Dopapod, The Motet, Pink Floyd's The Wall, that's going to be performed by members of Papadizio, Dopapod and The Works, Melvin Seals and JGB, Sunsquabby, Corey Wong, a tribute to Queen, the list goes on. Kyle Hollingsworth Band, it's great. And it's in Ohio, and they're going to bring you a lot of great surprises. So enjoy this episode, enjoy this interview. Keep an eye out for all things Amigos coming your way. Thank you guys so much. We will catch you on the flip. Peace. It's neat that I think that Ghost of the Forest, having Trey play start to finish the same set, yeah, night after night after night, yeah, maybe changed his perspective. Last night I was watching him. He has a list of songs in front of him. This is not news, but yeah, no one else does.
Yeah.
So he's literally, like, you could tell when his mind's like, what's next? Like, you now visually see him go and, like, kind of peer over.
But I would rather hear a very fresh Ruby Waves that goes type 2.
Yep.
Every few nights for the summer, every four nights, then hear them go and play a song and destroy it in a bad way because they haven't brushed
played
up
it
on
forever.
It.
Yeah, you know, like, no, I hear you.
Ruby Waves is fresh in their minds, and they can do type 2, and they can make it different every time, versus going back and doing a McGrupp that they completely butcher. You know, like, I'd rather the Ruby Waves.
Is that so what you're calling
how
tonight?
Do you feel, by the way, I do love McGrupp. That was a bad example, because I do love McGrupp.
So we have the unofficial fish statistician on stage. Ladies and gentlemen, this is David Steinberg, also known as Physics. And he would know the rate of repeats and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling
surprised.
It up right
I'm
now.
Surprised he's pulling it out. I thought he had it in his
God, I hope people are taking pictures of this.
Compared to last year, which they're playing more distinct songs than they have last year's summer, but they also are playing more songs in 4 and 5 show rotations.
Yes.
So they're having a stronger, or if you prefer, more boring, if you're that way, core of songs. But they're also playing more things just for one time.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So
absolutely.
How you want to decide it, that's more or less fewer repeats.
Well, and we got that Mango song. They still haven't played Sloth.
I'm glad you cleared that up because
tonight,
I have
Sloth.
No idea what you said.
I know what he said.
And they've been doing a really great job of cutting out the bullshit and going straight to, even if not type 2, if you listen to the song, like, First Night Bonnaroo, the Friday night's a great example. It was a very standard set on paper. Standard, it was all hitters, it was all bangers, you know, but stuff that we probably aren't that excited about because we've seen a million times, and it's what we call the Saturday night special, or the festival set. They still found, Trey in particular, found extra notes in there.
Yep.
You know, so it didn't matter what they were doing, he was just bubbling over with notes, and with the repeats, I feel like, even if it doesn't go type 2, every version has been unique, and every version has been with intent.
Absolutely.
Do you think Bonnaroo is trying to win over new fans? You know, right? Trey, like, plays to non-fish crowds.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
He senses, like, the other people in the room.
And yeah.
And plays mm-hmm. to them. Yeah,
and it worked. You know, for years I had the theory that I get why when you do a festival set, I totally get it. You know, we all have to. You're in front of 80,000 people, and you're like, okay, they're not going to really get it if I do a Union Federal right now. You know, oh. I'm going to lose.
That's
I'm
going to
have a few fans that are like, this was the greatest thing ever, but I'm going to have 70,000 people walk out on me. Right? So you have to mitigate that, and you have to please everybody.
Put in the balance.
Yeah, what 99.9% of fans that are at concerts don't realize is the performance element of this thing, you know? Like, you're gonna go out and you want to do your best, and you're standing there watching other artists perform. Like, Trey stood side stage and watched Cardi B and all these others. That's contagious.
I
you want to go out, you want to rise to the occasion.
I hope he was taking notes of Cardi B, by the way. But the thing is that, like, I get it in that from a band perspective, when you're on stage, you're kind of scared of losing that audience, so you want to play the samples on a jar and you want to play like that. But on the other hand, if they trust it a little bit, the reason why we all got into Phish was not because they did those. Like,
right.
Like it's hearing that first time that they really blow something out and knowing that it's a Type 2 jam, or hearing like an Iculus or something like that. It will lose some people, but it will make fans for life out of others.
Yeah, totally. And like in there, they throw the first ever mics into Fluffhead, right? So whoever, like they're not, it's not like they're not doing things for the first time. Please don't have it to me no more. Please don't tell me the casino's gone. What's the play? Head back to casino. Tom, so Camden Night 3, the sound check, Three Little Birds, Pebbles and Marbles, Tila, Forbins, Mockingbird, Mango, Most Events Aren't Planned, Driver, and Sleep. Do you ever go in and wait? Do you go in and check out the sound checks?
Yeah, when I can. For that one, I was like out in the lot partying with people and just listening crystal clear to the sound check. It was amazing.
Yeah, Camden's weirdly like perfect.
Sometimes you get really good sound up there in the lot, sometimes not so much.
Yeah, it was bouncing off all of the homeless shelters perfectly. That whole city reminds me of like a deleted level of Tony Hawk. Like you just like grind off everything and it's such a dump. But it's beautiful in its own shitty way. That show I've gone back and listened to, I think, the most. That was one that, like, when you and I have talked, it's you love that show.
I think so, yeah. And then a personal reason, my daughter was there, and Pebbles and Marbles is about her.
Mm.
It was the first time after, because she was on my podcast, Under the Scales, talking about
it. On the Osiris Network.
And then Trey knew that she was there and played it, and I'm suspecting for
her. Wow.
I like to think that.
Yeah.
So that was bring it on more shows, because I want to hear that more often.
Yeah, right?
Believe can you tell Trey that your daughter wants to hear Forbins?
Yeah, right?
You'd be like, my daughter's favorite song is Help Slip Forbins. Well, please don't have it to me no more. Please don't tell me the casino's gone. What's the play? Head back to single ball. Out of all the new tunes, Tom, Ghost of the Forest, Kasvot, I like to ask all our guests, what are any your favorites right now? Any of the what new stuff is like really are you getting jazzed to hear once it starts?
Well, like with the huge influx of Kasvot and now the Ghosts stuff, to me, I mean the Santos stuff, that's funny, like that, you know, it's good. Everyone dances, everyone sings, but one song of the whole, are there 20, however many new songs there are, one song rises like head and shoulders above, and that's About to Run.
Yes!
I'm with you. That Fenway.
God damn it, I love that
Fenway.
Song.
That Fenway.
Love that song.
Yeah,
Surfers
Fenway. Dirty, dirty Trey Fish. Grinding gears.
I mean, industry that just sounds like Fillmore East, Jimi Hendrix, 1970, just like shredding, awesome guitar.
It lets him stretch, and it's like, it's cool, everything about it.
It's so
awesome.
Great.
And Fishman is just all over it.
Yeah.
So my theory is that with Ghost of the Forest, I saw actually one with Tom, and I saw the night before, the two groups. And I loved it as a thing by itself, right? I thought it was great. Anybody that's lost somebody near and dear to them can relate to it on a whole different level. I thought it was an amazing experience that I didn't want to carry over into Phish. However, I wanted those songs to. But I had a split in my thinking. Like, I liked Ghost of the Forest as an experience, almost like it's a narrative arc. It's you know, like going to the cinema or reading a book or something like that. Art that really affects you based off of life experiences, in this case, death and mourning. However, afterwards, I think it was actually the second Greek where I started hearing in the Psalms germations of what could become, like Ruby Waves is a great example. The second I heard Ruby Waves,
best example.
It was like when fish get.
Years ago, exactly. And it's breathing right now.
Yeah, and it was like when fish gets a hold. I love that.
It's
the best example.
Yeah, it was when fish gets a hold of these songs, and a lot of my closest fish friends, some of whom I'm here with today.
They weren't
sold on Ghost of the Forest. Right, and I kept telling them, wait till fish gets their hands on them, and wait till you give it. And Mercury, when Mercury came out, and I was a Mercury fan from I heard them play 4 or 5 times at Soundcheck, that before playing it at Bend, and I loved it instantly. A lot of people it took a minute.
It took me a little bit.
And if you go back and listen to Mercury, it took them a year before they figured out where to expand it. And that's my hope for Drift While You're Sleeping. I think that right now,
so good.
I'm a huge fan of that song. It's going to take some selling. And in order to sell it, they need to get into it and do, but they will. They did that with Ruby Scales. Wider last night was a great demo. And when they really do Wider, it could be woven in and out of a set. About to Run could become like the next, I saw it again.
Yeah, the next machine.
In and out. Yeah. You know, and Still Waiting, it's one of those things. And
I love Death Don't Come.
But that's Cast My Thoughts.
I love that.
Because
it was so totally
different. We were talking about that. Beneath the Sea of Stars. We were talking about it back there, how it's like there are people who were kind of like, oh man, this is long.
And yeah, then but 10 minutes in, like Waves. They probably hit Waves when Waves first came out then, because it's, you know, like every single time that fish does something, there's an incubation period. And 20 years later, you know, there's an incubation period where people aren't sold for whatever reason, and it's because they haven't had an it moment with that yet.
Yep.
And last night with the Sea of the Stars, a portal opened up, and if you didn't step through it, well, then that's on you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right on. Very good.
Yeah,
definitely. Camden was great, too.
We got the
Oracle right there.
The Oracle.
But Trey introduced you one night.
Hold on. David, what's the first song that I wrote?
On the 20th anniversary run, it was Maka Super. Yeah. It was the 60s song that you wrote back in the 60s.
And what kind of underwear was I wearing?
None.
Oh. So then Trey was
Superman,
wrong.
Of course.
Checks out.
Trey was wrong because he was singing the first lyrics that he ever wrote for a fish.
Yeah, he said that on New Year's '93. That was the first tape.
My very first show where I had no idea who you were.
So there's some truth to that too, depending on how you slice it. Definitely that song, Makisupa, was written earliest of all these songs.
Yeah. Right.
Before there was any fish. That song was written.
Even before Wilson?
So when they were fish.
Because Wilson was in eighth grade, right?
Anything. But the first time that I think Trey had the concept of fish came home because he did something bad at University of Vermont, and I did something bad at Carnegie Mellon, and both of our dads put us in Mercer County Community College. And right then, Trey had the seeds of Antelope, Slave, Letter to Jimmy Page, Dinner in a Movie, just tons of songs, and he needed to get them down. Mm. And we bumped into each other, and he said, hey, Tom, do you want to help me build a recording studio in my dad's basement? And there's only one answer to that. And so he turned around. I'd gone to class like a good boy. He turned around on his way to class, and that was it. He never went back to
that was
college.
It.
Yeah, well, that college.
He was
anyway.
Busy mailing letters to Jimmy Page.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so I was sitting there doing like keyboards for Slave and stuff like that, even though I didn't have a hand in writing. He just had all this music that needed to spill out. And so I pressed play, record, sometimes, you know, played a couple keys. And then one time he just, like in Antelope, he just shoved a mic in front of my face and chemically enhanced, I believe I just said those words. And so now I have a songwriting credit on that.
That's incredible.
Same thing happened in Slave. It's like, seen the city, seen the zoo, traffic light won't let me through.
Ow, ow.
I wrote that.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you for writing it, Tom.
Right?
Thank
yeah, exactly.
And here we are now.
That's my song.
Speaking of songs that you guys co-authored, there's one about the casino that you recently tweeted about.
Hotbox.
Yeah.
I didn't know you tweeted about that, but I didn't know you tweeted about that, but I have to say, Tom, I actually was going to text you about this 2 weeks ago. I didn't know you tweeted about it, but that is one of my favorite songs that you and Trey did. And I listen
When was that written?
I listen to it all the time on SoundCloud.
Let me see if I have it. I can play it.
By all the time, I mean whenever I'm about to go lose a lot of money in a casino.
You have it?
Is when I listen to it. It's my like, it's my champion song, a sports like. So I get, whenever I go to the casino, that's what I listen to.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, that's a song that
tiger.
I very much want to be part of, like maybe some kind of jam. All of a sudden, it could appear.
Yeah.
When did you write that?
Yeah. Someone said in the middle of a Cross-Eyed and Painless, all of a sudden it turns into Hotbox and then goes back. Something like that.
Wow.
That'd be cool.
Can you remind?
I mean, that's
that'd be cool. I might have to remind him. I remind him every casino, or he reminds me.
Really?
Yeah.
Here.
He's playing.
Yeah,
I got it.
I love it.
When was that written?
Such a good tune, man. And I could also see Fishman just having awesome time just improv and bullshit over this.
A lot of fun. Casino Fishman.
It's a very dancey beat. It's Trey just like channeling Michael Jackson there.
Yeah, if there's one this tour needs, it's another debut. There's hardly been any.
Hotbox would be the debut for tonight, for sure.
I think they're going to open up with Mike's song tonight.
Is that one, Tom, that you guys
wrote, that's what I think.
That you guys wrote together? Or was that one? Because you guys do like, that's the thing that I think is very interesting about like what we've talked about. Sometimes you email, sometimes you phone write together. Sometimes you go lock yourself in a cabin somewhere. Sometimes you go on vacation. Like that one in particular, was that one that you wrote together?
Yep, we were together. That was a writing session. I can't remember the exact date or location at the moment, but we had written another bunch of songs that became Fish songs. That one was just kind of like a throwaway. And I asked Trey, could I put it up on SoundCloud? And it immediately like tore apart my SoundCloud. Like everyone loved it, and it went rippled through the audience. Like, oh, this is the new direction Fish is going.
Not so much. Casino funk.
It's one of three. It's one of three songs I use SoundCloud for.
All right, I have the pleasure of chatting with Rob Chapin, drummer of the Works. How you doing, buddy?
How are you doing, buddy?
I asked you first. Don't try to be funny.
All right.
Dude, you got another festival coming up, August 1st through 3rd, the 10th annual Workout Music and Arts Festival at Legend Valley in Thornville, Ohio. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir.
Yep,
it's our 10th anniversary of the fest, and we're going... It's going to be the biggest one yet, so we're definitely super pumped.
Yeah, I mean, incredible lineup. Big Gigantic, Sound Tribe, Claypool Lennon Delirium, which easily became one of my favorite outfits in the past year. I caught them here in New York at Brooklyn Steel, and got a chance to hang out with them afterwards a little bit, and God damn it, they're great. They're so good.
Oh, they're incredible. Anything Les Claypool touches is solid gold, in my opinion. He's,
yeah, and you know, it was almost kind of like a mix between, you know, it's almost like if Les played on Revolver. It had that psychedelic Beatle feel, but
I can definitely see and hear that, what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I really loved it. So they're always a hoot. Steel Pulse, Floozies, Twiddle, Two Nights of Twiddle, Modest Yahoo, and the list goes on. Turquoise, Dopapod, Motet. It's amazing. I'll post up all of the, it really is a dynamite Corey Wong, a Queen tribute. It's fantastic. So 10 years now doing the festival. How long has the band been together?
Yeah, the works have been, formed in late 2005. Like early 2006 when we really started getting going. So, about 13, 14 years now. And 2010 was the first year we did the workout, and it was at this Indian reservation with underground crystal caves, which is about an hour north of Columbus. The Dane Shawnee Caverns. And that was a really magical time. It was those first two times we did it, 2010 and 11, were at the Shawnee Caverns. And boy, that was a fun time. It was just a party with friends, essentially. Only about 1,000 people, 1,500 people the next year. And then we outgrew the place and decided to jump to the legendary Legend Valley, Thornville, Ohio. So we've been there the last 7 years. This will be our 8th year there, making year number 10. And we've just been steadily growing throughout the years there, and in case you didn't know, Legend Valley has some rich history with 60,000 people there, like, 4 times in a row over the years, and they had, like, ZZ Top and a bunch of famous people come through. That's where Lostlands is, Vision Electronic Festival. They do a lot of good stuff there, and we're really, All Good back in the day used to be there, All Good Music Festival.
That's really awesome, really man.
Absolutely, yeah. We're really honored to be a part of that lineage and continue to host epic parties there. So,
yeah. Now, I want to ask you about your, throwing a festival. I want to get into in a moment, but prior to, it's an ambitious task, I can imagine. And were you a festival attender? As attendee, whatever you want to call it, as a, as like a music fan prior to, taking on throwing your own festival?
Absolutely. I definitely was an avid, festival goer before we started throwing the workout. And my first festival ever was Fish's infamous Coventry.
Oh,
which
God.
Was supposedly their last show at the time, so
yeah.
I was mixed emotions just because of that. But then we get on site and two hurricanes come through Vermont and dump and flood the place, and Vermont got flooded for the first time in over 100 years that weekend. And so it was we were getting in, there was a 30-mile line on the highway trying to get into Coventry. People were just leaving their cars. They were trying to tell people they couldn't come in because of the mud, but people still came in, and it was just logistically a nightmare for it. So it was kind of serendipitous that that was my first festival as a featured festival producer, because I learned a lot of things they did right in dealing with adversity and insane extreme weather, as well as a lot of things I did wrong. And, I also had the unique experience of being a musician and touring the country playing these music festivals. So I had not only a view from being an attendee, but from also being a performer and being an artist and kind of seeing the ins and outs of how festivals work from the other side of the stage. So to come in then and to put on the producer promoter hat as the third angle, it was nice to have a well-rounded approach walking into that.
Totally, man. And that's huge that you brought that up, because now I was in that 30-mile line of traffic, and I was on the list of people that did leave. I left my car, I think I've told it on this podcast actually, that I sat my spot in traffic, was staring at 91 South completely empty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, all I gotta do is make a U-turn and I'm home in 3 hours. But I'm like, now let's see this through. I did Clifford Ball. Like, I was at the you know, the early ones. But I've heard about a couple people who have that was their first festival, and it's like, oh boy, I'm so sorry. But you know,
it was crazy.
It was really terrible, but it was. But
no, yeah,
you're right.
I lucked out because I was from upstate New York originally. So I was like, hey, you know, when my old keyboardist Dave, the first keyboardist in the works, were like, oh, dude, let's take the scenic route, you know? Let's, you know, we're coming all the way from Ohio. We might as well take the scenic route on the way up to Vermont and come through upstate New York and cut across. Well, sure enough, because of that, we had no idea about the traffic jam. We got in the back road. We're about a half a mile out, and then we hit traffic. We're like, what's this traffic? And we were there for like 36 hours. You know, it turned into a lot scene on the street. Everyone was just like, one of the weirdest experiences of my life, probably. But then you get on site, and you're walking around. You're walking to the stage, and there's just so much mud. I just remember vividly you're walking, all of a sudden you look down, your shoes are gone. And it's underneath, like feet of mud, and everyone lost their shoes. I bet you to this day, you go to Coventry and you have like whatever, you can look through seismic like readers, whatever, you can look in and see all these shoes underneath all the mud.
The next,
generation. Like, whatever you do, take care of your shoes. I'm like, my shoes are gone.
And I don't have any shoes to take care of, man.
Touchdown, you fish.
That is so funny. Yeah, like the next ice age is going to come and go, and then whatever creatures land on Earth, they're going to go, and they're going to dig out a bunch of Tevas.
A bunch of
New Balance. It's all going to be hippie sneaks, too, which is hilarious.
It's all going to be,
you know,
Birkenstocks and New Balances.
Yeah, totally. You know, I
performed. It'll be the plastic bag era, by the way, in the sediment.
Oh, God, yeah. It's just going to be a bunch
podcast.
Of. It's going to be Camel Light, Camel Light butts and New Balance and white claw. Yeah, totally. So it's interesting because, you know, and then right after Fish, you know, it kind of takes their breather. The scene explodes, and there's a million festivals, and there's a million, you know, great bands. I think I heard, I did research, and I found that I think there was over 800 festivals in the United States each year. And that's something that, and if you think about it, you know, calendar-wise, I'm sure that November, December, January, February, there aren't many. You know what I mean? So there's those little regional baby festivals, and then there's the, you know, climbing all the way up to the Coachellas and the, you know, those. So luckily in my life, I grew up in Connecticut, so I had Gathering of the Vibes. I had Fest. I had a lot of really great festivals to hit. And then as a writer for Relics, I went to Bonnaroo. And now as a performer doing stand-up, I go to lots of festivals that, you know, Nashville has the Wild West Comedy Fest, so I get to go bounce around there. And you look at it from all different angles, and you look at it from different perspectives. I've never really looked at it from your perspective, where you're playing, you're headlining, and you're running a festival. That's got to be a lot of pressure.
To say it isn't would be incorrect, so yes. luckily, though, over the years, we really have such a solid team in place where, you know, I definitely am very hands-on leading up to the festival, but it's really nice to be able to lean on my partners, all you know, Jason Goodman, you know, Demetrius, Kenny Holmes, all stand-up gentlemen and amazing, festival producers, you know, between them and our incredible staff, I'm able to put on a musician cap while gates are open for the most part. And it's really nice to be able to, as we say, shake babies and kiss hands versus, in 2013, I had to literally throw my radio away in order to get on stage. So.
So when you're building a small town, you know, because that's basically what it is. I mean, you're putting together, you know, you're pop, you're building a pop-up community.
It is. I'm glad you said that, because if you look at the Facebook group, we're not a festival, we're not an event. It's called a community, right. And we really push that community vibe really hard, because it is more than just a normal festival. There are people who come every year, but people really look out for each other at the workout, and that's something that I really, you know, people feel like they're a part of it. You know, there's a lot of people who like deck out their campsites and participate in the theme nights that we do, and you know, are doing stuff to add to the festival and express themselves. And that's something I want to, you know, push really hard and let people know that that's something we really value at the workout. We're a community. We're not just any festival. And we want people to come express themselves and like find themselves or find new people they've never met. You know, we want to create that environment for people to grow while they're there.
Oh, that's amazing. And I think that's what festival goers, are looking for. You know, I mean, they're looking for a place that, you know, I personally enjoy the, yeah, I went to the first Bonnaroo and it was my last Bonnaroo. And I think that it'll always be that way, because it was too big. You know, like fish festivals are what they are. They're a very unique thing, because fish is a very unique thing, and they can literally, you know, just headline alone, no other bands, and you can get anywhere from, you know, 35,000 at Watkins Glen to, you know, upwards to six figures at, you know, Big Cypress, and so, you know, but that is that's a different thing. When you have multiple stages, when you have, art, when you have a calendar of, you know, we need to put, you know, this headliner's playing this stage, and then we're going to have somebody on the side stage, and then we're going to have the late night situation going on over here. I mean, do you start planning the 10th workout the day after the 9th one ends? I mean, this is that's a huge endeavor, man.
We definitely are always thinking about, you know, always thinking about it. Even like, yeah, when we stop, it's like, what can we do better? What can we, you know, who are we going to book next year? Like, yeah, there's always questions we ask. Steve Trickle, the owner of the property, always said, you know, he has a saying, he's like, every year you learn something new. And when you throw an outdoor camping music festival, and it's true, you know, it's not easy. If it was easy, everyone would do it, and it's definitely not easy to do it. And, you know, it takes so much time, and it's like, it's pretty wild that this one weekend a year literally takes all year to plan, but it does. And, you know, it's definitely really satisfying, though, because it is stressful. But I always say this, you know, whenever people ask me, like, you know, I'm running around on the Wednesday or the Thursday of the festival, you know, stressed out. And then I see a patron who's just smiling from ear to ear, genuine smile. They're just so happy to be there. And I call it the first smile every year, because as soon as I see that first smile, I'm just like, I like snap out of my stress mode. And I'm like, all right, it is what it is at this point, and I did the right thing. You know, I made someone smile. Like, that's the whole point of this. And it's like, without, like, all my stress melts away, and I finally enjoy myself.
That's fantastic. That smile, yeah. I like to hear that. That's really, that's beautiful, because, you know, the we need this, and I've been kind of working on a lot of different projects through podcasting and through documenting. There's something about what's going on in the world right now that, you know, everybody seems to, like, once that smile, once we kind of forget about life for a minute and that smile appears, it's hard to wipe it off. And people are smiling pretty fucking hard these days once they get going, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So you're creating a sense of release for a lot of folks. Now, what are the numbers like that, like, what amount of, what's the capacity for the festival, and, like, what do you see, like, coming these days? Like, what are the numbers like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd imagine it's, you know, going to be between 5,000 and 10,000 people.
Damn, it's perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to say that range, but the Price is Right rules, so 5,000.
Yeah, $1.
$1. I mean, you never know. it's the bane of as if any festival producers are listening, you know, that they know the pain. It's, oh, everybody waits till the absolute last minute to buy a ticket, and we have no idea how many people are coming until literally we're on site about to open the gates so we can have an accurate estimate of how many people are going to be there. But, you know, if you're not a festival producer listening and you go to festivals, do everyone a favor and buy your ticket early, because that's how we can plan ahead and know how much we're going to be able to spend on infrastructure and artwork and, you know, all the stuff that it takes to throw a festival.
Now, when it comes to the logistics, the water, the vending, the sanitation, bathroom situation, things like that, that also must depend on, you know, ticket sales and the amount. You want to be over-prepared, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you definitely want to, you know, expect to, yeah, be over-prepared, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all just depends on, you know, like, once again, it just goes back to, you know, just make sure if you go to a festival, especially, like, the independent festivals, not the big ones, but the independent ones, and you're planning on going, buy your ticket early. Let people know, you know, like, let the producers know how many people are coming so they can plan accordingly. I mean, it's the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. What's it like working with a town? Do you kind of have to go to, like, meetings and, you know, dumb town hall things and say, like, hey, you know, we're doing it again, and you got, like, one old lady, like, not again, you kids. You know, is that happening?
Hey, it's us again. No, so luckily, Steve Trickle, the owner of the property, really does a great job at communicating and talking to the township. I mean, obviously, they don't like the noise. They don't like the traffic. They do recognize, though, that there is extra, you know, between us and the other festivals that are at Legend Valley. They definitely drive a lot of people to buy stuff in the local businesses, and all the hotels sell out around the region. It's just good for the economy for Licking County in general. And, you know, we definitely give back. You know, we do a school fundraising drive for school supplies every year, and we, you know, the other festivals that give to the boosters, and I think we're giving to the music program this year with the proceeds from our alcohol sales. So we definitely try to give back, and you know, we appreciate the local township for letting us do what we do, and definitely want to give back to make them feel like we care.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. What about local businesses? Now, you brought up alcohol sales. I mean, clearly everybody loves a fresh local IPA made in what was once a bookstore and is now a brewery. Are you inviting local business owners and you know, craftsmen to sell their products and services in the lot?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, for alcohol-wise, yeah, we were planning on involving a few local breweries who have yet to be named yet, but we will be announcing shortly. And as far as, and then we definitely have some national craft as well, as, you know, domestic. But as far as, like, merch vending goes, yeah, we definitely have stellar local and regional, you know, artists and crafts and other merch booths that, we're bringing in a lot of those local people. So, you know, if you're in the vending area, make sure you support those vendors, because they have some really awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's kick ass, man. I really think that, you know, a festival is a good opportunity for, you know, it's kind of a snapshot of a town or a community or a part of America where you can really. You know, you go to Horning Tideout, you're going to enjoy some, you know, Pacific Northwest flair. If you go to Berkfest, you're going to, or if you go to, you know, Solid Sound, Wilco, you're going to experience a little bit of that Northern Massachusetts, Southern Vermont kind of vibe. So it's cool to, you know, get a little bit of Ohio in your veins, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's awesome. That's where, you know, when I think of Ohio, and this goes for a lot of places in the country, but specifically Ohio, you'll notice that when you come to the workout, in Ohio, you know, it's like the word family gets thrown around a lot, you know, the Midwest vibes and everything, but, like, specifically Ohio, like, everyone's, you're treated like family when you're here, and that's something that, that's why it's, like, the community vibes, the family vibes, you feel like you're a part of something bigger. It's not just you're at a festival, you're, like, a number, like, take a number or whatever. It's, like, you're your own individual at the workout, and we're really happy to, for people to express themselves and you know, add to the bigger community.
It's fantastic, man. It's really great. And that's the spirit of, you know, everything that's been going on in this scene all the way back to the acid test with Ken Kesey and all of that. It was a take care of each other and everyone's in it together, and you grow and you make friends that you have, forever. And that's really one of the beautiful things of these independent festivals. How many stages are going to be set up? This lineup is just out of this world.
Yeah, we have two main stages, and then we have the 10th stage, which we're showcasing national, regional, and local talent on that stage. But then we have the permanent main stage of Legend Valley, which is this incredible, massive structure. I believe it's the biggest amphitheater in Ohio, technically. And then secondly, we have this big Saddleback, like, tent structure, kind of looks like a Sydney Opera House, as the second stage, main stage B, and then, the local, regional, and national bands are playing on the tent stage.
That's kick-ass. Now, one of the incredible luring aspects of a festival is those impromptu jams, those never before and never again moments. Has workout been a place where a lot of that has happened over the past 10 years?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of our biggest things being a quote-unquote jam band festival is the collaborations. We always have and encourage acts to collaborate with one another and sit in, and we always try to make it a unique experience with whoever's on the lineup, you know, sitting in and making it special. And that's why, you know, we did it in 2014 with Dark Side of the Moon. We did with Papa Dosi and Dopapod in the works. This year we're doing, at the 10 year anniversary, that was the 5th year, this year we're doing Pink Floyd's The Wall, with Papa Dosi and Dopapod in the works. So that's something you don't really see many places.
No.
And it's a really special set, you know, and also the Queen tribute, we have members of Turquoise, the Motet, Papa Dosi, Dopapod in the works, all collabing on this tribute to Queen. We Are the Champions tribute to Queen. I think that's going to be a really special set. You're not going to see all those bands collaborating on that ever.
Ever again.
And then we also got the Big Damn Jam, Norman's Big Damn Jam, which is a tribute to our old keyboardist, Norman Demetrioleus, who passed away, the old works keyboardist. And
yeah,
that's going to be a really awesome collab. We got Johnny Neal from the Allman Brothers and a bunch of really good Stoops. Players sitting in for that. It's going to be a really nice tribute and jam session. So, you know, on top of that, we got the other thing that's really special this year is the Trampinant, which is 4/6 String Cheese Incident doing basically an electronic dance set. It's kind of like the Lotus, the Yodo type of vibe.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, a lot of special sets this year.
Yeah, I mean, it goes well into the wee hours of the morning, I imagine. I mean, you can't have all of this without a... Man, that's incredible. I had Kyle Hollingsworth was on the podcast a couple of, maybe 2 months ago or so, and... what an unbelievable person he is, and I'm just happy to even know him, and just a chill dude, and the stuff they're doing is fantastic. I love how they can kind of do these one-off moments, you know, and it's that's what our scene is all about, it seems. It's just like these moments that are, enjoy it while it's here, because you never know if it's going to happen again, and it's these hybrid
Absolutely.
Mixes, and it's really kick-ass that you put this on. Are there any... return artists that kind of are staples at the workout? Are there bands that you kind of, when you're booking, do you always go, all right, we're going to have these guys, those guys, or do you try to mix it up every year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for some reason we keep booking this band called The Works. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. Get over it.
But, no. we'll keep booking them.
I guess.
No, but for... We do book a lot of acts. You know, we typically always have Twiddle and Dopapod. And Dopapod, by the way, is one of their only festival plays in the summertime. So we're excited to have them.
Yeah.
And Twiddle, of course, two nights. They're usually there one or two nights every year. And then Papadocio has always been heavily involved with the workout since the first year. So... You know, they're usually there every other year. And Iodo is typically there every other year as well. Because Papadocio and Iodo were there for year one and have been on the lineup pretty much every year for the most part. So
that's awesome.
Iodo, of course, is now transferred this year. So it's Iodo plus Kyle and Kang. And then... Papadocio is doing the special set. So both Papadocio and Iodo are doing the special set this year, but that's what makes year number 10 even more special. So.
Yeah, now you're in double digits, so there's a lot of pressure. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of visual and, you know, aesthetics that are going to be fun to check out while you're walking around the concert grounds.
Absolutely. This year's theme is Atlantis.
Ooh,
so it's
beautiful.
Welcome to the lost city of Atlantis.
The lost city of Atlantis. Well, man, you know, there's one thing that your festival is missing, and it's stand-up comedy. So for 11, we'll work on maybe doing like a little stand-up tent, and I'll accept your offer now. So I'll see you there on the 11th.
You're joking, right?
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Comedy. Yuck, yuck. No.
We should have some comedy in there, you know?
Why the hell not, dude? You know?
Why
I mean, we're,
people
we're
like
doing it. I remember being at, and I've talked to him about this, Jeff Ross, the Roast Master General, who does all the Comedy Central roasts
Comedy
and all that.
Central,
He, one year, I mean, that was 2001 maybe, he went on stage at Berkfest and roasted the crowd, and no one had a clue what was going on. He was talking about getting tofu hand jobs and you know, vegan pussy and all this stuff, and it was, the whole crowd's like, what? Like, all these, like, anemic kind of giggles, and it was, for, like, the 200 of us that got it, it was, like, the greatest thing in the world. But,
Yeah,
I think it's fun to, you know, I mean, it's a...
Well, that's like when David Cross goes off on Street Cheese and Grateful Dead or anything.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever heard that one, but that's a good one. Right.
Yeah, it really is.
We played it in the Works band one time, and, like, half of us were laughing, half of us weren't. We're like, oh, man. Uh-oh.
Whoops. No, that's awesome, man.
Uh-oh.
Whoopsie. Well, listen, I let's let everybody know that's listening where they can find tickets to the festival and where they can find all things The Works online.
If you're planning on coming to the Workout Music and Arts Festival, check us out at www.theworkoutfestival.com.
Wow, that was lame. And then on social media, is there, are you at...
Just search the Workout Music Festival, the Workout Music and Arts Festival. I mean, we're pretty much the only one.
W-E-R-K, folks, for those of you who...
Got it. You got it.
Are you... Oh, you said you're from upstate originally, yeah? Upstate New York?
Originally from upstate, but born in upstate New York, and then spent my formative years in Columbus, Ohio, where the festival is just outside of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you a Browns fan?
I am. I hate to pick sides, Ohio people, but I am a Browns fan. If I had
to
choose.
Okay. Well,
the thing about Columbus people is we're it's kind of weird because like we're in this weird Ohio State bubble where like we don't even have. People ask you like what your favorite like NFL team is. We're like the Buckeyes.
Yeah, totally. I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. I'm really inspired by the Browns recently. I've always kind of liked them, but especially with Mayfield and just the whole revival of the team. I'm really impressed with them, and I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, so I know what it's like to stink. And I have a lot of friends in the Ohio area. I go perform in Cleveland regularly, so I have a soft spot in my heart for Ohio. I think it's great, and I feel like Browns fans and Dolphin fans are kind of the same in a way. So we've been beat on too long.
Hell.
Yeah, you gotta go through hell to get to heaven. That's right, brother. Well, listen,
then
you go straight back to hell. That's right. And then your defensive coordinator's caught on video blowing lines of cocaine talking to a stripper. So
every time.
Well, listen, dude, have a great festival. I'm very happy for you guys.
Thank you, brother.
And you know, keep doing it, and let me know when. So the festival ends the 3rd, so August 4th I will be in Thornville, and we'll start looking at the specs for the comedy tent for the 11th annual work.
Perfect.
All right, brother.
You can land your helicopter in the backfield. And
we'll I'm going to ride in on a drone.
Yep.
Right on, dude. Thank you so much. And, good luck with everything. And you guys will kick ass.
All right, brother. Much love. Talk soon.
All right.
Adios, amigos.